We're reading Leviticus chapter 23. Let's reread these verses, beginning with verse 9. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, and you reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And he will wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf on the day after the Sabbath. The priest will wave it. And you will offer on that day when you wave the sheaf a male lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering will be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil. It's an offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet aroma. And its drink offering shall be of wine, 1/4 of a hin. And you shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all of your dwellings." And so as we've been talking about the seven holy feasts and days of the Lord that God gave to Israel to celebrate, each of them has a special significance to the church as it relates to the ministry of Jesus Christ. In some way, each of these feasts shows us something that Jesus Christ did on our behalf that has a spiritual fulfillment and instruction for us. As you remember when we talked about the Passover, Jesus, for those of us in the New Testament, became our Passover lamb. And when we place our trust in him under the cover of his blood, the wrath of God passes over us. We examine the Feast of Weeks, where for 7 days, beginning on the day after Passover, the very next day, the second day after Passover, the second day of the first month of the year for Israel, they ate bread that did not have any yeast in it. It did not rise. It was like crackers. It was matzah that you can buy in the stores today. And prophetically, what this spoke about with Jesus Christ was his sinlessness. The fact that Jesus committed no sin. In our life today, in the Christian's life, it speaks about our holiness, our sanctification, and our dedication to live a godly, holy life before the Lord. And one of the interesting things we find in Psalm 16, verse 10, and in Acts chapter 2, verse 27, Peter on the day of Pentecost explains that because Jesus was God, because Jesus lived a holy life, his body in the tomb for 3 days did not experience any decay. Now you stop and think about this. When Lazarus died and Jesus shows up on the third day, he tells the family to open up the tomb. And the sister of Lazarus says, "Lord, he's decaying. He stinks. He doesn't smell good." His body was beginning to decay and turn into the dust again from which it was formed. But not so the body of Jesus Christ. That was part of the symbols here that we see here that God shows to us. And then very next day, on the third day after the beginning of unleavened bread, is this feast here that's called the Feast of First Fruits. And it has significance for both Jesus Christ and for the church in the fact that it was on the third day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And in Corinthians, Paul says, he has become the first fruits of the resurrection. He was the first that was ever resurrected from the dead to never die again. There were people in the Bible that were resurrected from the dead. Jesus gave life to a few people, as we know, Lazarus and a few other people. There were several instances in the Old Testament when somebody that had been dead was raised again. But in all cases, they died once again. What is unique about Jesus Christ is when God raised him from the dead, he raised him to everlasting life, to never again die again. And this is symbolic from God as a sign to the church that he will do the same for us. Now, on the actual details of this particular feast, as you know, that this was a spring holiday. As I said, it occurred on the third day after Passover. This is basically the harvest festival for Israel when they would gather the harvest of barley. There's certain grains that are planted in winter time, and they mature in the springtime, and barley was one of them. Generally in Israel, in the springtime, about March or April, when they celebrated Passover, the barley harvest was ready to be gathered. And God instructs them to go out into the field and to gather the first bundle and to cut it down and to bring it as an offering to the Lord. And the priest would offer it to the Lord as an offering. And this was symbolic that the rest of the field that the Jew had, that he had planted and was going to harvest within a couple of days or maybe within a week or two, all of this actually also belonged to the Lord. But God was giving it to them for their daily use. And in the very same way, we see in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It occurred chronologically on the day when Israel was celebrating this feast. And to us in the church, it represents the promise of resurrection. Jesus told the sisters of Lazarus, "Do you believe in the resurrection?" They said, "Yes." And Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and life. If a man believes in me, even if he dies, he will rise again." We recently went through Thessalonians, and there Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica. He says that we believe that Jesus Christ will come for the church, and those that have died in Christ, their bodies will be resurrected. The sign, the down payment on this, the promise of God is that he already gave life to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ arose. His body did not decay, and so our new body, even though right now our body may turn to dust, the promise is there that we will receive that new body that God has promised us. We will join Jesus Christ and ever, forever be with Jesus Christ. And Paul asks the question and encourages us, says, encourage each other with the spiritual truth. Amen.